Jesus is the link between a holy God and an unholy man. It's through Jesus Christ, our Savior, not through some institution.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
When Jesus came to our earth, it was on his lips that he came for one specific purpose. He said, I am come. And here's why I am come. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. John 10, verse 10. The great goal of Jesus Christ has always been to make a man better off after he found him than he was before he found him. And so far as I know, he has never been known to fail in achieving that goal. And anyone who has truly submitted to his care and his control, he always makes a man better off than he was before. It seems to me that Paul shares with us in this passage three powerful insights regarding such a life. The first thing I see in that outline is the foes of abundant life, man's sinfulness. And that's described in verse 3. Man's sinfulness, and then the foundation of abundant life. That's verses 4, 5, and 6, God's goodness. And you have to see there the appearance and the achievement and the abundance of God's goodness. And then finally, as I look at it in verse 7, the fruit of abundant life, heaven's richness. We possess two new riches, a new position, justified by his grace, and a new prosperity. We're made heirs. We inherit something of incredible value according to the hope of eternal life. Now let's look at these three significant insights into this abundance of life which can become ours through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, a theme at least indirectly with which Paul is dealing in this passage. First, do you notice the foes of abundant life? We call a man sinfulness, and that's stated there in verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers, lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Paul exposes in those words of chapter 3, verse 3, he exposes the pollutants which characterize our fallenness. We're fallen creatures. And Paul is exposing those pollutants which are native to our fallen nature. And this is what we were. These are the foes of quality of abundant life. This is what we were before we became Christians. Number one, we were senseless. We were foolish. That's what the word means, senseless. Not only were we senseless, he says, we were stubborn. We were disobedient. Paul says, we were senseless. We were stubborn. Thirdly, he says, we were seduced. Do you notice? We were deceived. Fourthly, we're slaves, serving divers lusts and pleasures. And finally, he says, we were spiteful. Do you notice? Hateful and hating one another. That's the climax of the corrosive process of sin in an individual's personality and character. He becomes hateful. Paul said we had a spiritual perversion, we were foolish. We had a volitional perversion, we were disobedient. We had a mental perversion, we were deceived. We had a moral perversion, we were serving, slaves to lusts and hedonism, pleasures. And we had a social perversion. We had malice, envy, and hatred. It means that sin destroys everything it touches. The whole man, every facet, every particle of his anatomy is shattered by sin. Spiritually, volitionally, mentally, morally, socially, he's shattered by sin until Christ comes in. That's what we were. Here are the foes of abundant life. But now let's look at the foundation of abundant life. It's God's goodness. And I think that's what we have in verses 4, 5, and 6. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. There's the appearance of God's goodness. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That's the achievement of God's goodness. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly. There's the abundance of God's goodness. through Jesus Christ our Savior. Notice the appearance of God's goodness. He talks about kindness and he talks about love toward man. You see it in verse 4? Kindness and love toward man. Kindness is love in action. Kindness takes love from the abstract and transmutes it into the concrete, into the practical. Kindness is love incarnate. It describes that spirit which is so benevolent that it is always eager to give whatever gift may be necessary. It's an all-embracing generosity which issues not only in warm feelings, but also in generous actions at all times. That's one of the words which expresses the goodness of God, which appeared to us, kindness. And also the word philanthropia, which is translated love toward man. That's another, a second word in that verse, which reflects God's goodness. Paul says that God was the first great philanthropist. A philanthropist is a lover of humanity. God was the first great philanthropist. And there's the very word, philanthropia, in the Greek New Testament, right there in that verse. Paul says that God possesses a warm affection, a generous benevolence for mankind. He cherishes warmly each and every one of us. That's the very meaning of the term philos, philanthropia, lover of man. The human philanthropist gives his wealth to meet man's needs. God gives his son, his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to meet man's needs. First and great philanthropist is God himself, and the evidence of his love for humanity is indisputable. And Paul says something very special. He says that this kindness and this love toward man, this manifestation of God's goodness, it appeared. When did it appear? It appeared when Jesus Christ appeared. You notice the abundance of God's goodness in verse 6? He shed this Holy Spirit upon us abundantly. God's goodness was poured out lavishly upon us when we became recipients of God's Spirit. Paul's verb there, poured out or shed on, poured out means to give largely, to bestow liberally. That's the way God always gives. To give largely or to bestow liberally, the Holy Spirit floods our hearts with God's life and God's love, and he still does. The flood remains. He's still there, and he always will be there. All of this incredible abundance and meaning is inseparably bound up with our union with Jesus Christ. It is through Jesus Christ, our Savior, he says in Titus 3 and verse 6. Jesus is the link between a holy God and an unholy man. It's through Jesus Christ, our Savior, not through some institution, not through some ritual. It's through Jesus Christ that this abundance comes to us. Do you notice the fruit of abundant life? It's verse 7. The foes of abundant life, man's sinfulness. The foundation of abundant life, God's goodness, appeared in Jesus Christ, achieving our salvation, abundantly poured out upon us. Now I want you to see the fruit of abundant life, heaven's richness. Paul says we possess two new things. Here's the fruit. Heaven's richness becomes ours. He says we have a new position. We're justified by his grace. And we have a new prosperity. We're heirs. We're made heirs, according to the hope of eternal life. We have a new position. We're justified by his grace. That word justified, just very quickly, is a forensic term. It's a legal term. Do you know what it means? That word justified means declared and treated as though we were guiltless. You and I are not guiltless, as a matter of fact. We are guilty. But to be justified means to be declared and treated as though we were guiltless because Jesus Christ bore our guilt for us on the cross. There are two sides to this judicial act of justification. It involves a subtraction of my guilt and the addition of Christ's righteousness to my account. My real guilt is subtracted from the heavenly ledger in the courtroom of heaven. And Christ's real righteousness is added to my ledger. And in that act, I am made fit to stand in the very presence of God. It's a wonderful thing to be justified, to be declared and treated as though we were guiltless. This does not mean that God overlooks my sin. It means that he fully accepts Christ's death as the payment for my sin. You see, sin is always punished. Sin is always punished when we're dealing with a holy God in the universe of a holy God. Sin is always punished. The beauty of Christian salvation is that Jesus Christ bore the punishment for us on the cross. So we're justified by his grace. We have a new position, and finally we have a new prosperity. Do you notice? We're made heirs. According to the hope of eternal life, through Christ. God, Paul says, through Christ, God is much more to us than a righteous judge who pardons us. That's justification. He's much more to us than a righteous judge who pardons. He is also a loving father who promotes and prospers. In other words, see if I can put it this way. Christians are not simply pardoned criminals. That's justification. Christians are not simply pardoned criminals in God's kingdom. They are supremely privileged children in God's family. We have not only been released from a sentence, a legal sentence and penalty that we should have paid, we have actually become the sons and daughters of God. And now that we are the sons and daughters of God, we are also the legal heirs of His estate, the universe and all that is in it. All that eternal life implies and provides will actually become ours. We are heirs according to or in accordance with the hope of eternal life. All that eternal life implies and provides will actually become ours. We are heirs of the richest inheritance in the universe. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Paul says, Christians experience an abundance of life. And he tells them what he means by that. He unfolds for them the foes of abundant life: man's sinfulness, the foundation of abundant life, God's goodness, the fruit of abundant life, heaven's richness, new position, new prosperity. I wonder, are we the people who are still bound by our fallenness with all of its deformities? They're unfolded there in verse 3, those terrible deformities. Are we the people who are still bound by all of our deformities, our fallenness? Only Jesus Christ can set us free. Only He can set us free. We must be prepared to respond to His goodness and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There's only one way to be made fit to stand in the presence of God. We must be justified by His grace. And that happens the moment we receive Christ as our Savior. Have you ever done that? We urge you, we implore you, we beseech you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Come and receive Christ as your Savior. Most of us are the people who have been freed from these pollutants, at least in principle, by God's goodness. If you have been freed, you have been justified, or you have been saved, not by your works of righteousness, but by His mercy, then that requires of you and me at least two things. It requires of you and me at least two things. One, it means that there must be a gratefulness in our spirit. The most graceless of all sins is ingratitude. We must be grateful as we remember what He did for us. It requires of us gratefulness in our spirit, and one further thing, it requires of us goodness or Christian dedication in our behavior. Are these the words? Gratefulness in our spirit, goodness in our behavior. Are these the words that describe our walk?
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
We ought all to be hungry to share in the wisdom of God and to apply it in all areas of our lives.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.